This is John Walden. We're studying in the book of the Revelation, and we reach chapter 8. Now we saw in chapter 6 that the seven-sealed book was taken by the Lord Jesus, who alone had the right to open it. And as he opened these seals, the judgments began. Then between the sixth and the seventh seal, there was a parenthesis. Now this same pattern is followed throughout the book of the Revelation. Between the sixth and seventh trumpets, and between the sixth and seventh vials, we'll also find a parenthesis. And the seventh chapter formed the parenthesis in this case, while the Lord sealed, or had sealed, the 144,000 of the children of Israel, and also a great number that no man could number out of all the Gentiles. So the eighth chapter begins now with the opening of the seventh seal. And when it was opened, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. This has been called the calm before the storm. God is reluctant to judge. We're told in the scriptures, judgment is God's strange work. And he says, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If you're not saved, the Lord wants you to be. Even though you may be his enemy, and the natural mind is enmity against God, even though you may be actively at enmity against him, yet the Lord loves you. He desired not the death of any person. Now, at the close of this short period of silence in heaven, he says, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, anyone who is familiar with the Old Testament will immediately think about the trumpets that were blown on seven successive days for the fall of Jericho. And Jericho in the Old Testament is a picture of this world. It stands for this world in defiance against God. And so the blowing of the trumpets here stands for the judgments which God is going to bring on this world during the Great Tribulation. But notice in verse 3 that another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now you'll search the Bible through and never find anyone offering the prayers of saints except God himself. If this is the Lord Jesus, as we believe that it is, why is he called an angel? Was the Lord Jesus a created being? Of course not. And those who blasphemously teach that he was a created angel and such a good angel that God permitted him to be his son will bear their own judgment. The Lord Jesus is not a created being. But the word angel in the Bible simply means a messenger. And the Lord Jesus is God's messenger of judgment. Now he is interceding here and offering up the prayers of the tribulation saints, of the faithful believers during the tribulation. This is exactly what he's doing now for his church. All who are saved in this present dispensation, between the day of Pentecost and the return of the Lord, compose what is known as his church. And the Lord Jesus is our great high priest, and every Christian is a priest, is permitted to come into the presence of the Lord, to offer our worship and praise, to serve the Lord. But the Lord Jesus himself is our great high priest, as the book of Hebrews teaches us. At the present time, the Lord Jesus is interceding for his own. He does this as our advocate. When we do wrong, he is there as Jesus Christ the righteous, according to 1 John 2 and 1. But he is also there as our high priest, one who can sympathize with us, and one who can help us that we do not get into difficulty, as well as to get us out of difficulty. Now immediately after this intercession for the saints, the judgment begin to fall. And this is why he is praying for them. He knows, of course, what's going to happen. In fact, it is his throwing of the censer filled with fire from the altar into the earth that causes the beginning of judgments. And the Lord Jesus best knows the need of his people, because he is the one who brings judgments upon the earth. Now the angels sound, and verse 7 gives the trumpet of the first angel. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, as you turn to Old Testament scriptures, you see that the grass stands for man in his smallness. The Lord tells us that that man is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. The 103rd Psalm mentions this in other places. And so man in his frailty is looked upon as grass. He lives for a short time, and then he's gone. And the trees stand for man in his greatness. We read of some in the Old Testament who wanted to reign over the other trees. It was a parable to explain how some men want dominion over others. And then in the story of Nebuchadnezzar, in the 4th chapter of Daniel, you see that he was likened to a great tree that reached up to heaven. So man in his glory, in his greatness, is emphasized here. Now it says that a third part of all this was destroyed. I have referred before to my father's teaching the book of Revelation some 50 years ago when I was a boy. And how the people said to him, those things are impossible. This is one of the things objected to. How could a third of the people be killed at one time? Well, that was long before the atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb. We know now, don't we? The most thoughtful men on earth today are fearful lest more than a third of the people on this earth be destroyed, and that within the space of a very few minutes or hours. I'm not saying that God is going to use anything of that kind, but we know, of course, that God can do it. When the time arrives, he will see that judgment falls upon man. Now the second angel sounded in verse 8, and here a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now this was lifted almost whole out of the 51st chapter of Jeremiah. You should look at it when you have time, especially the 25th verse. And very plainly, Babylon is the mountain which is cast into the sea. And Babylon is also a picture of this world, but in a special way as the religious world. You see, Babylon in the Old Testament was the beginning, the place where all idolatry began. And Babylon stands for the false worship. We'll learn more about this when we get over to the 18th chapter, where Babylon the Great is destroyed. The word Babel means confusion. And this world system, now I'm not speaking about the planet, but about the world system built by man, whether it be political, commercial, or religious, is certainly a Babel in our day. It is filled with confusion. And the Lord says this is going to be cast into the sea. Now, he tells us plainly in the book of Daniel that the sea stands for the nations. I believe it simply means that the great world church, and there's going to be one, make no mistake about that, the ecumenical movement is going to be successful, but no Christian should have anything whatever to do with it. The ecumenical movement will not be successful until true Christians are taken away at the rapture. When the Lord takes us home, then religion on the earth will be united. But it will ultimately be judged and destroyed, because it is a false thing. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, which means bitter. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Stars in the scripture stand for religious leaders. They who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars of the firmament. And this undoubtedly stands for some world leader in the religious field. Someone has suggested, what would happen if an outstanding religious leader should suddenly apostatize and tell the world there's nothing to the whole business, Christianity is a farce? Can't you see what this would do to destroy religion in the world? And because there are many religious leaders who are not believers at all, this will be a very simple thing for the Lord to carry out in the coming day. Then the fourth angel sounded in verse 12, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. The day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This would tell us of the deepening of the darkness. Light is being withdrawn, and the Lord is going to withdraw the light. Let me tell you something. If you've heard the gospel, you better obey the light while you can. Light obeyed increaseth light, while light refused bringeth night. There is nothing but woe coming upon the inhabitants of the earth, according to verse 13. That means those whose home this world is. Thank God those of us who know the Savior claim heaven for our home, and we're going to be delivered out of all these woes. If you're not saved, do trust the Lord Jesus soon, and be spared these terrible things that are still coming upon the inhabitants of the earth. Our Father, we ask you to bless that word to us. We pray again for the salvation of the lost, and we ask that thy dear children may look up and expect our Savior's return momentarily. In his name we pray, amen.